that's that red line's a 36 day, the blue line to 12. So we're going sideways, which is beautiful, which is going to create possibly the next low risk entry for people who are on the sidelines. They'll probably get another chance once the sideways pattern, see like this beautiful sideways pattern, how the moving averages catch up.
Patrick Karam, North Star Bed Charts. Good morning to you, my friend. How are you?
Yes, Andy. A very good morning. And I wish you the same. A good day, great day.
It is going to be that. Absolutely. Following you a lot on X and LinkedIn here and our previous conversations, you monitor, well, number one, just off, and you didn't know I was going to say this, you're one of the best technicians I know of and follow. So I want to give you a lot of kudos to that. The second thing is you've had some great calls with me in the past, and that I'm sure you've had a lot of calls that didn't work out as well, but I love that you don't really jump the gun. But you've been monitoring silver a lot as well as the overall stock market. So let's start with silver here. Let's get a recap of where we're at, where we're going, what are the charts telling you and that you can communicate to us.
All right. Yeah. So silver, it's a little while back there. I forget who, maybe it was on your channel, but somebody said that this other analyst, he said that like this was back over 2 months ago. I'll show you the charts, guys, that silver was going to be at $40 in August or before August. And whenever I hear something like that, well, I have to pop up the chart to see if it's like technically possible. What are the probabilities of reaching that? So that's where my little silver saga started recently. I'll share my Twitter feed. And this is the, okay. So here's a post I did back when I heard this. This person asked, I forget who it was there, but whoever it is. So I looked at the silver chart back then and I started doing some TA on it. So the price was around here and this person said, we're going to reach 40 by August. All right. So, okay. First thing you guys, you mark up a line where August is, and then you start looking at the TA. Am I doing higher lows? Am I doing higher highs? Okay, good. We have an uptrend. So now I could have extended this line there. You don't see it. I'll show you a chart for further along there. That there's actually another touch point much lower from this huge low down here. There's a touch point. So we have a valid rising trend line. And I said, yeah, why not $40? As long as the price keeps going up, whether it's exploding powerfully and then consolidating sideways, as long as it's staying above this angled trend line, it's mathematical, right? It's like, that's the trend. That's where it's going. So let's see where that plays out. So that was back. And then I kept doing updates. That's an 8-hour candle chart. So it's pretty fast. And then I just kept doing updates on that. And finally, back in, I'll show you this one here. So here's the longer term picture, right? It kept going up, then went sideways. And I just identifying those consolidation periods. And I said, as long as it's, and it bounced here to perfection on that line, like just a miracle. It then bang, bang. So that's fine. And now I did an update of this maybe 2, 3, 4 days ago or 5 days, whenever this broke. And I said, okay, that's it, guys. Even here, I noticed that we were losing rising momentum. Oh man, we got so close. Oh, it's like everybody, I think we're looking at their screens, right? What was it? 3950, something like that. There, it was very close. Then we lost rising momentum. So I told people, well, you're losing rising momentum. So that's the start of a correction. And this is the way I see charts, and to protect myself, instead of always FOMOing, Andy, and it's a good exercise. Maybe your viewers or anybody looking at charts, always tell yourself all important market tops start with innocent looking bullish corrections that fail. You got to put that in your mindset, or else you're always expecting a bullish, oh, it's a bullish flag, it's a bullish pennant. But they're only bullish if they break out. If they don't break out, then they're actually the top, right? And then it fails. So all these are bullish. That's why you identify a continuation breakout line. If it breaks out, great. It's that has broken out. Then you get a measured move. It goes up. Here's another one I didn't identify here. Here's a big one. It broke out. Fine. You get a move. Even here, that looked bullish here. Like, you know, like some type of flag. But it didn't break out to the upside, guys. So that was it. And then it cascaded down and then we closed below this rising support line. So now we lost more rising momentum. And today I think we'll, let's do review for your members there. So we did not reach 40 by August. It was possible, but you know, it's got pretty close there. And here we are today. I'll do the 8-hour chart. Just like, so here we had that rising support line that failed. So when I see that, there's no continuation breakout pattern yet. I'm not quite sure where it is. Here there is that descending. So the upwards momentum as defined by that line broke down. So that's done. Now we have descending momentum that has broken upwards. So what's essentially happening is the price is going sideways for now, right? So a bigger pattern's morphing into existence. What will it look like? I have a wall here, 30, maybe 30, 50 right here. Just make that bigger for your viewers. So I have a wall here. I can't get bullish. Well, I am long-term bullish silver. I'll show you the long-term chart, guys. So this is like, we're just having fun on the shorter term time frame. But the shorter term, before that longer term uptrend continues, this has to resolve bullishly. And I have a wall here, previous resistance, now support, resistance. So until we close above 3850, there's some type of pattern here, a bigger pattern that's going to morph into existence. That's actually a bullish descending expanding wedge, but it could also be a top. You know, it's only once it closes above whatever line is going to morph into existence here. I'm just going to do a little pathway just to show you guys, you know, what could possibly happen here. You know, always imagine, draw those roadmaps. Maybe something like this is going to happen here. And then after that, it breaks out, either retest of that rising trend line or we're off to the races. So I'm expecting some type of pattern here to morph into existence, because now you're below that 36 period moving average. You're below that. So the congestion is not yet resolved. You got to wait for that. But if I zoom out, guys, let's say, I'm on the daily chart. What that type of damage do we have on the daily chart? Well, we still lost that rising support line here. That's not, and here I still have my wall at, here's, 3843. It's no man's land, right? It's just going sideways. Now the moving averages are starting to coil. That's now on the daily. So that's a 12-day and the 36-day moving average. That's that red line, the 36-day, the blue line, the 12. So we're going sideways, which is beautiful, which is going to create possibly the next low risk entry for people who are on the sidelines. They'll probably get another chance once the sideways pattern. See, look at this beautiful sideways pattern, how the moving averages catch up. So you got to wait until that resolves upwards, because what could happen if it doesn't resolve now, you could be in a situation like this where it just falters for days and weeks and months. And that's, you want to avoid that. Unless, of course, you're a stacker. Guys, this is for the traders. I'll zoom out to the weekly.
Yeah, if you would. I also like to comment about that. You, just going back on all of our previous conversations, you really, and I'm somewhat talking to my listeners and viewers here, and please comment. This is very healthy. A sideways action or a correction is very healthy, but what you don't want is to have these parabolic spikes and then chase them. Well, don't chase, do not chase. So, comment about that, Patrick.
Exactly. Yeah, well, because often people, they're going to see the price go up, and then after that, they're going to, if they don't take the context of when is that price going up, is it going up because it went sideways for a while and then started to move up? That's a good type of price going up. But Right. Is it going up, like you said, parabolically? Has it been going up for weeks and weeks and weeks and months? And your stretch, I'm going to double click here. Here's the distance from the moving average. I'm on the weekly, guys. So this is the distance from that red line, that 36-week moving average. Look how stretched it was historically back in the silver squeeze. Remember that silver squeeze? Yep. It was that stretched from the moving average, my goodness, as it was at the 2011 top.
Right.
That's how parabolic it went. Look at that, guys. Look, this is the 2011 end game, end of the previous bull era in silver, parabolic top. We were that stretched. And now back in 2020, we were that stretched. So even if the price is not high, it's not about price, guys. It's about how stretched you are from moving average, and then the probabilities of a reversion to mean. And everybody got caught here. Like it was crazy, right? Silver squeeze, JP Morgan, whatever. The, we're going to the moon, like triple digits, like all that crazy stuff there. All the crazy charts I could have done there, they start happening here because you feel it, right? And guess the penalty, the cost of this FOMO, it was a 2-year sideways grind from 2020, 4 years sideways grind.
Right.
Flies by, Andy. I can't like believe it. So practically that was July 2020 and it broke out in April of 2024. That was a price to pay. 4 years. No, yep. Sorry, denied. 4 years. Go away, guys. Demoralize people. Make people sell here. There was even a breakdown right here. A lot of people sold here, which is fine. Like, you know, you were supposed to exit. You weren't supposed to enter here anyways. You were supposed to enter down here. And guys, yes, with charts, you could have entered down here because look at the breakout here. The breakout in momentum, right? It was breaking out. Guys, people who've watched my videos with you, Andy, they know coiled in tight, close to the moving average, exploding upwards. This is where you want to be, right? This is, yep. Look, I could even stretch this. My goodness, look, like that was the breakout. And people bought here, of course, they're going to sell here because they're demoralized, right? They're down the whatever, $28 to 18. What is that? 50, 60%? No, I don't know. I can't do my math. It's how much did it go down from that peak? Yeah, it went down 40%, 35%. Of course, you're going to give up after a year, 2 years going sideways. But people bought down here, they might have taken profits here. And they might not have even sold down here. Maybe, like, you know, they're still in profit. But whoever hang down through here, whether you should have or not, the next low risk entry was over here in 2024.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, yes, that's, so that's as important. But look at that. We're not stretched yet, Andy, on the weekly chart. Yes, the daily and the 8-hour chart, like I showed you, were going through a correction period. But there is no... clear, there's no FOMO yet. There's no crazy breakout on the weekly chart. All the stuff I showed you there, it's just a bounce on the shorter term moving average. We haven't even lost a 12-week moving average.
Yeah.
See how we bounced here?
So, yep.
Maybe this is my breakout line. Yeah, but again, I think it's 38.50, somewhere like, yeah. See here, even 38.50. Look at that. Beautiful. Even on the weekly, all the stuff we had above, guys, it was the noise of the wicks. Wicks. Mm-hmm. Is the market telling you, or it's Japanese candles telling you during the week I was high like that, but the market's participants saying, no, that's too high. You're not going to close a week there. You're not going to close a week there. So now it's trying. So yeah, 38.50. If we get a close above 38.50 on the weekly close there, this, you got to, it's the next lower risk entry point. And because the price is not super stretched from the moving average, I could say we're halfway through that. Like here, the low risk entry was down here on the weekly, the first one. It was one here, explosion. Then we got a reset. We got another, here was the second, the closer by lower risk entry here, explosion. Now we just got to wait. Yes, we're hitting resistance as defined by that distance from that 36-week moving average. So either we consolidate some more, but if it does break out, then that's when you get some... above this line there, that you probably get some violent moves there.
Yeah. You know, and I like that you zoomed out too with the charts, because it shows that here where we're at right now, it's not stretched. As you've said, it's just really a great upward trend, but it's not stretched. Right. So I think all my viewers and listeners take note of that. It doesn't mean we're going to the moon, but it's not, as you just mentioned, there's a potential low dangerous or a high probability entry point coming up. So
yeah, and these lower risk entries, there's not many in a bull run or in a bull market or in a longer term run. There's not that many these sideways pauses. You get the initial entry. If you miss it, then you have that first important consolidation pattern, like we've had this aggressive inclining one, this congestion zone. That was the start of the second one. But the further you go along the a bull run, the less and less they're probable, because now there's more and more attention. It's moved up more and more. The higher time frames are going to show that it's starting to get stretched. So they're less and less probable of resolving upwards, right? The lower risk entries, they're after these huge, huge, huge sideways, devastating grinds. Like, but these, you'll get an opportunity, guys, but it's not the same as this opportunity here. It's just different. And here, yeah. I'll go on the monthly. And here on the monthly, I'll remove all my drawings. So again, here they're even clearer. Look at these beautiful breakout lines, right? Look at that. Here's one, here's another one. And you weren't stretched back then. That's here at the bottom, guys, is distance from the 36-month moving average. You got the breakout here. You got another, you got a breakout there. So we're halfway through, you know. This is historical. Look, this is a 2000 bull run all the way here. That's the 1970s. So we're not at the early, like that. We're not here at the bottom, right? But goodness. Yeah. Still an uptrend. What I could tell you is sometimes you're don't live in fear of it, you know, always on stretch, it has to go down. It doesn't work that way. But what you do know is as long as it stays above this inclining support line on the distance from moving average, you're fine.
Mm-hmm.
You don't want to lose momentum, because once you lose rising momentum, you're going sideways, there's not enough money going in to make you distance that moving average as fast. It's not the optimal situation, right? You want to be somewhere where your car is able to outpace the other cars, right? Not just hang in there with them. You want to be that Lewis Hamilton guy, whoever now is the number one F1. You want to distance and distance some more, you know? As traders, you have that opportunity. You could look actually here at the distance for moving average. You could actually objectively see that you're actually outpacing your previous price action. And that's where you have the greatest gains for silver, is when you're outpacing it. So now there could actually be a breakout here.
Mm-hmm.
I think it actually had previous months. So as long as the price is above the inclining 12-month moving average, above the inclining 3-year moving average, but also outpacing it, you're fine. Mm-hmm. And you can see this with the distance from moving average. So it's nothing's falling apart on the monthly time frame. Nothing's falling apart on the weekly time frame. The daily, yes. And the 8-hour, yes. But what's the 8-hour and the daily charts? Like we saw resolve upwards and we get back even a weekly close above 3850, then we get another shot at glory.
Yeah. Real quick comment on that. That last breakout, it was actually in the spring of 24. I had you on and I remember that specifically. You were saying, oh, this looks great. Oh, it looks like we're about to break out. Yeah, if we get a close here, we'll break it out. And sometimes it works out like that. And lo and behold, we broke out. And I remember all the a lot of comments on it. We're literally 24 hours when I dropped that interview. There are all these comments. When Patrick Silver's breaking out, Silver is breaking out. So pay attention to all my viewers and listeners. That's what I would say to the charts.
It's about just finding, it doesn't always work in our favor. And it's just about finding the skewed risk reward in your favor. Like even here in 2008, see silver, like let's look history from the past. And guys, yes, charts do matter. Previous price action does matter. Because I don't know if I explained it ever on your show, but let's say I'm in the present. I buy today or I sell today. Let's say I bought today in the present. As time moves on, it's a chart, right? But me as a buyer, I'm a baked in sell eventually, right? Whether my time frames, I'm a trader, scalper, a long-term investor, eventually I'll sell. Eventually, unless I die,
right.
I agree with that, I'll sell. So that's why it's important in price who bought today. Because in the future, as the price moves up, that guy, he's going to sell. So people say previous price doesn't matter. No, 100% matters, right? So present creates the past, and the past will impact the future price because that guy is going to sell in the future or whatever, short cover or stuff like that. So it is important.
Right.
Here, look at these beautiful consolidation patterns for silver. See consolidation, breakout, but you see, but then, oh, got the GFC 2008. I don't want you guys to live in fear of this. But stuff like that can happen. So you got to be wary. Like the 2008 one, it was the end of the world there. Like somebody who held through that, I don't know how they did it. There are stackers maybe could hold through that. But any type of trader, you're closing below the 12-month moving average. You're closing below the 3-year moving average. It's like at that moment, it probably felt like the end of the world, right?
Right. Yep. When you get a moment, let's look at the miners real quick and see. Where they're at, GDX or GDXJ, or whatever ETF that you look at.
Yeah. Okay. Well, here I have Aza, but I'll put GDX for you guys. It's pretty much the same thing.
Yeah.
So they are stretched.
Yeah. I don't tell you just for my portfolio. This is not a brag, but it's up a lot. It's all minors. Makes me nervous, and it's up a lot. So makes me nervous, as you just said, they're struck.
Well, I'll give you the tools to know if it is this a trade for you? Is that a multi-year? Like, people have to decide.
It's a multi-year, but that being said, I've taken a lot of profits here recently.
There you go. Well, nothing wrong with that. I'll put Azza, guys, because just to show you historically how stretched the miners can be. The Azza tracks, I did a correlation returns adjusted correlation indicator with JDX. It's practically the same there. So okay. What's fun about the Azza, it gives you data points, like, you know, going all the way back to the 70s. So here, look at that. Like, we're in outlier territory here. It's like,
yeah, look
so
at that.
Blow off could happen at any moment. So while this is 100%, anybody selling into strength here, you cannot judge them. You cannot say they sold too early. Even if the price does go up and does 100% from here, you cannot say that you were wrong in selling being that stretched, because the entry point, anybody should have entered maybe down here. It moved up so fast. It's crazy. But, you know, from below to above, like, you know, you could have bought anywhere up here, but now you are stretched. So that's selling into strength. It's very hard to do, Andy, because only with hindsight will you feel better about your decision, right? Because now it could go up and then go crashing down. But then when you take some step back, maybe in a year, 2 years, it could be lower than what you exit and say, yes, it did go up a little bit, but I saved all this opportunity cost and now it's maybe a little lower. So you have time to digest, to know if that was the optimal point, because only with hindsight will you know it was a high or a low. But what I could tell you is, as long as that's for selling to strength. Now, if you want to wait and for the market to show you a little bit of weakness, you know, you want to say, okay, it's strong. Let's see if the market starts failing. As long as that rising support line does not fail, you're good. You're good. But the price could be much lower when that fails, right? So you won't be able to sell here to strength. But if the price does something like this, that's
sticky. Yeah, I got you.
You'll catch that. Because as soon as the momentum starts failing, like you might sell a little lower here, maybe in a couple of months, you'll sell here. So, you know, it's like a trade-off here. Like, either you sell here at 33 or you wait a couple of months. So now there's opportunity cost. And then you could sell maybe at 30, 31 based on momentum failing, right? But you're 100% in the profit taking zone. You could also zoom in on the weekly. Is the weekly failing, right?
Not yet.
Let's zoom in. So the weekly starting to show weakness.
Yeah.
It's hugging that support line. So,
right there.
If it doesn't bounce here, then you are 100% entering a correction on the weekly. And if it continues on the weekly, I hear there's like some type of small breakout here, but if it doesn't bounce here, entering correction on the weekly, if it keeps correcting on the weekly a few weeks, then the monthly will probably fail. Let's look at the daily. Yeah, so the daily had a correction, which is just about to resolve here. So yes, there might be another go at it. Here was, you could even make a case there that, maybe here it bounced here. So was 100% slowing down on the daily chart. If somebody wanted to get back in, but see, this is how you have to weigh this. Yes, you can have a breakout on the daily chart, but then after that, when you zoom up to the monthly chart, you say, my goodness, it's like, is that daily breakout going to survive much longer, right? How much juice does it have before the higher time frames, like, headwinds start kicking in? Because all the people, when you stretch that much, what happens is all the people that bought the bottom, they're going to start taking profits. It's like the people that bought in the past, they're going to start, you know, say, man, I'm reaching my targets. I'm up 100%. I'm up 200%, whatever. They're going to start taking profit.
Yeah. I think a strategy. This is a strategy, just not advice. Not advice for anybody, but just that I did is about 40% profits here. So I still have a lot of exposure, but I'm air quotes way under invested. But if it keeps on going, let's say it keeps on going, screaming up. I'm still going to participate in that, but I'm wanting and hoping, and I think that we'll have a correction here. And if that happens, then I'll start nibbling and averaging and more.
Kids' friends there, just ringing at the door.
No problem. I'll take it out.
My girlfriend's not there. I'm going to have to punish her.
It's okay. I have 5 kids, so I understand. Excellent. Okay, so I'll take all that out. Let's talk about the general stock market, the overall stock market, the S&P, where we at. I mean, it's just been screaming. If we're rolling over here, what are the charts telling us?
All right. So if I zoom out, I'll start with a crazy, crazy long-term view there.
Look at that. Good God.
It's an unstoppable beast since the late 1800s, but it's really got kicked into gear after the Great Depression, after this in 1950 there. That's like, I don't know, something really happened here. And since then, it's just been in a tear.
By a 45 degree angle almost.
Yeah. And these beautiful, like, you know, it's pretty impressive.
Yeah.
So right now you could do the same exercise. At the bottom here is a distance from that 36 year moving average.
Mm-hmm.
And we're stretched 100% stretched now. You cannot make a case that we're not stretched. So we're stretched, but we haven't lost rising momentum. So this could, you're still in an uptrend, right? There's no low risk entries. Low risk entries were much lower, right? But you're an uptrend. And until you lose that rising momentum, even on the yearly chart, my goodness, even that line there is a beautiful rising support line. Even until that line fails, whoever's riding a trend is 100% fine, right?
Right.
I'll zoom in on the quarterly. Remove all my drawings. Quarterly, same thing. Beautiful rising support line right here. Nothing wrong, but we are starting to get deep into it there. You see the granularity. Here was the bull run for the 2000s. Here's this bull run we've been doing here. Here was a previous bull run of the 1960s, and then it started slowing down. So we're not in the early innings. When I hear people say we're in the early innings of the U.S. stock market, it kind of rubs me the wrong way, because how are you objectively defining this as the early innings? And I know, but Patrick, it's exponential growth. I don't even know what that means. It's AI. It's every time's different. But look, I was too young, maybe in 2001 there, but the people who traded 2001, they'll know, right? This internet thing, the .coms, it's changing. Price earnings doesn't matter anymore. Like whatever, like, you know, I'm not saying we're there yet. What I'm saying here is until we lose that rising support line, you can still be bullish, but you are stretched. I'll zoom into the daily. This is what's happening though, what happened just recently.
Yeah.
Remember again, guys, all important market tops start with bullish looking corrections that fail on the smaller timeframes there. So yep. Here the SPX did lose a rising support line right here. The momentum was waning. See, higher highs on the price, but look at the distance from moving average, lower highs. So essentially what that's telling you is, yes, the price is going up, but you're not going up as fast. It's like you're going up, but you're running out of steam, and that puts you in a more vulnerable position. And right now, 100% now the SPX is in correction mode, 100%. And until it gets back above this descending line, then you're at risk of more failure for the SPX. So it has the longer term uptrends, the tailwinds, but now in the shorter mm-hmm. time frames, 100% there's a correction right now for the SPX. How long is it going to go sideways? Let's find out. But there's no low risk entry here until that resolves upward. Is there damage on the weekly? On the weekly, not yet. Again, I would like to see that a rising support line. It's starting to slow down a little bit here on the weekly also. So markets 100%, no low risk entry, entering correction mode. Will that be the end game? And again, because on the higher timeframes, it is stretched, I'll put the quarterly. Here's the quarterly chart. Look at the distance from moving average. That always helps you spot objectively how stretched you are here. But this is another thing that could also happen, guys. You could be stretched from the moving average. And then as it unwinds, the price could still go up, right? Creating that bearish divergence. It's not because you lose rising momentum that it's the price has to go down, right? You still have to follow the price because you lost rising momentum back here in 62. And then the price kept, even if it kept going up, but not as fast, it started going sideways. It's just, you have to see this as, am I entering at a low risk, lower risk area, or am I entering at a higher risk area? And whether the price goes up let's say there was a high risk area, but you didn't enter because you spotted it as a high risk area and the price still goes up, it doesn't mean you were wronged of not going in. Statistically, over many, 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 many trades, the lower risk areas where the greatest gains happen are down here, right? Look at that.
Yeah.
Look at that 1970 breakout. That was the greatest bull run ever for the stock market. And here, there was another one here, the 2012-13 breakout, right? And that is a crazy run. So we're nowhere, I dare anybody to tell me here on this quarterly chart, that's not a low risk entry right here. That is 100% not a low risk entry. The low risk entries are down here somewhere. So you just gotta, if you entered properly and you ride the trend, you're fine. But if you're on the sidelines, I can't tell you there that this is a low risk entry there, by no means.
Yeah. No, that's perfect, actually. And I think that's it, exactly what you said a couple of minutes ago, is you're looking for low risk entries, and even if it keeps on running, it's okay, because over time you want just the best entries, because over time that's when you're going to be most right, really. I paraphrase.
It's hard for people. I try to reiterate this message because emotionally it's hard for people. You're a new trader. I don't know how people, I left money on the table. Stop that. Stop that, guys. You're going to kill. No, right. Stop it. There's stuff going up all the time because I'm not playing everything that's going up. I'm leaving money on the table. That mentality is destructive. It will kill you.
No.
Enter at the low risk entries. And sometimes even the low risk entries, they don't work out. Enter at the low risk entries. It's like, if you had a chance to bet, at least wait for the pocket aces. Wait for, you know, everything.
Right.
Like, you have the best opportunity. And then after that, if it goes up, it's great. But if you exit and it keeps going up, who cares? Who cares? Who cares? It's like people, like they say Bitcoin, whatever, did the greatest returns, $100 back and whenever at the beginning, you have 2.8 billions or whatever. Guys, seriously, unless you lost your keys there and you found them 20 years later, 15 years later, there's no way you rolled that. There's no way.
Yeah.
I knew people bought at $5 and they sold at $1,000 because they had to pay for a car, they had to do stuff, they had to live. Or even when you do 20X, 100X, 1,000X, you're not going to sell? Seriously? You're not going to sell? And then it goes down 70%. What? You're not going to sell either? What? Like, well, who are you there? You're a robot? No, nobody does that. They're like, the only way you could ride that. So don't live because, that's salesman, clickbait, snake oil stuff when you hear that stuff, guys. You enter low when you can, and you sell when there's no more low risk entries, when you're stretched from the moving average, or you could wait until price starts faltering, sell half in the strength, and then you could sell the other half when more weakness comes in, and then you wait for the next low risk entry. And that's the advantage we have there. You could look at a chart and you see, man, that thing has been consolidating for four years. You could wait on the sidelines, play something else, like that silver chart that broke out, right, Andy? And that when it broke out, it was consolidating for 4 years, man. You could have been doing something else, guys. There's no reason to hang on into anything there as it goes sideways.
Absolutely. Well, Patrick, I'm very grateful to have you on. How do people find you? Tell us how they can use your services and all of that.
Yes. Of course, guys, BatCharts1 on X, all the fun stuff's there. But again, maybe for your viewers or all our viewers right now, Kevin and I, they're on NorthstarBatCharts.com. We're running a promo. It's 50% off. There's no discount code. It's just click and then you get 50% off forever. Lifetime. We'll never increase the prices for you. And we do this all the time there, we're just passionate about this stuff there. It's like, educate, learn, trade, observe, rinse and repeat. You know, it's like life, right? You do the same thing. We're learning every single day there.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. Well, Patrick, I'll put all of that in the show notes, both on YouTube, Spotify, and Apple. I want to thank you so much for your time. I love having you on, and we'll have you on again soon.
Take care, Andy.
Take care.